21 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, and I am here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how is your Friday evening going?
It's going a lot better than the Carolina Panthers last night. And so they're licking their wounds, as I say.
The claws were not out for the Panthers last night.
The claws were not out.
Were not out. Woo, buddy. They started off strong. With their first drive, I was like, oh, man, this will be a game. And then the Steelers had that one play drive, touchdown drive to Juju. And then I was like, oh, man, this will be a game. And then it was 7-7 with, 5 minutes gone in the first quarter. And then it was 52-14 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. It was just... Oh my gosh, that game. All right. So real quick, I'll just get the housekeeping out of the way to start with. This is the Football Absurdity Podcast. As a fantasy football podcast, if this is your first time joining us, we do things a little bit differently than some other podcasts. Instead of telling you, hey, it's a good idea to start Jarvis Landry this weekend or something like that, we say in the Falcons-Browns game, we are looking for X, Y, and Z to help with our fantasy lineups, to help with our fantasy rosters, sort of giving you an idea of what is useful to look at every game, what we're looking at. We are going to be permanently on Fridays now. Before it was like half Wednesdays, half Fridays. Now we're just going to be on Fridays. So we're going to start off with Thursday Night Football recap, get into some sleepers for the week, and then we'll take a look at every single game, see what we're looking for in these ones. You can follow the website account on Twitter. It's FBall Absurdity. It's Football Absurdity on Facebook. Website's footballabsurdity.com. Me and Mike are on Twitter as I'm at JMKRISKO. Mike, you are RFL Red Zone. And you don't get as spicy on Twitter as you do on Facebook, do you? You're always Facebook, you're always getting a little spicy with people. But on Twitter, I just see you doing normal football stuff. So you can follow us there on Twitter. So Mike, it sounds like you watched last night's game at least a little bit. Did you catch some of it, or did you just see the box score in the morning and go, oh my God?
No, actually I've watched, I stayed pretty much in tune through the first half, and the second half was sort of more of a glance at this and that, but I did track the whole game.
Yeah, and I do Thursday Night Farceball for the website, which is, you know, taking a look at all the weird things that happen. And the game was just sort of like a boring blowout. I gave up. I think I wrote instead about how boring the game was and about how I played with my dog instead and how it wasn't even a fun, dumb game. It was just a regular old dumb game. But, it was if you had a Steeler, you were happy. If you had Christian McCaffrey, you were happy. If you had anybody else, you weren't happy. That's pretty much how it broke down. I think Cam had started off strong, kind of petered out. Ben Roethlisberger had, was it five passing touchdowns he ended up with?
Yes.
Yeah. James Conner had a touchdown. Both tight ends, both wide receivers all had touchdowns. So you're pretty happy if you owned a Steeler. James Conner's in concussion protocol, which is ominous given that Le'Veon Bell might be back. But, you know, Thursday night game, he's got 10 days to recover. I think he'll be back just fine next week. And I don't think that at this point I've gotten to it. I don't think Le'Veon Bell reports. What do you think there?
You know, part of me absolutely agrees with you. The other part is just like, why would he leave Miami to go to Pittsburgh to not do anything? So it's like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense, but I'm also like, yeah, you know, I have a funny feeling that he's not going to play this year at all. So I don't know. We'll find out what Tuesday, but yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. Tuesday at 4 PM Eastern is the last second he has to report. And I think he went to Pittsburgh just to keep his options open to say, all right, I'm here. You know, I'll leave 2 hours early for the facility if I want to report. Leave his options open. But, you know, apparently he can still be a free agent next year, even if he doesn't sign the franchise tag this year, because it would technically be his third tag, which means it would be $25 million, I think it is, or $20 million. Mm-hmm. And at this point, there's no point. I mean, he's just risking injury. He doesn't want to do that. So I think he just holds out. He just doesn't play for the rest of the year, and he is somewhere else next year. You know, Philadelphia.
I think Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. I don't know. The Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines, what's his face? Wilkins. That's not a bad mix. It's not Le'Veon Bell, but you know, maybe Indianapolis. You say completely unbiased as a Colts fan, huh?
There is a little bit of bias in that, but I also know they have a lot of cap room. So it's something that can happen for sure.
Niners have a lot of cap room.
Yeah, but they suck.
Whoa, what are we saying about the Colts, buddy? Okay, so anyways, we won't get into that. So there wasn't a lot to take from Thursday Night Football, really. The Panthers got shellacked. They get Seattle coming up. The Steelers are the Steelers. You know, they re-announced to the league that they still belong in the top two or three teams in the AFC, like they are every year. So it was a shellacking, but those things tend to happen on Thursday Night Football because one team's just not ready to go is usually what ends up happening, and so there's a blowout on one side or the other.
Yeah, and this week it surely was the Panthers. I think the only person that was ready to go was Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, buddy. Three touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey was pretty much the only one who did anything on the Panthers side of the ball. So, all right, that was Thursday Night Football. There wasn't a lot to talk about there. I mean, it was a freaking blowout, and it wasn't even a fun blowout. It was just sort of ineptitude. So we'll just move right on to the sleepers for this week. So what we do is we take a look. Mike and I each pick a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end to qualify for the sleepers list. They have to be owned in fewer than 50% of leagues in our platform of choice. I use Yahoo. Mike uses CBS Sports. So we just, you know, each pick a player. We've had a pretty good track record this year. We've been doing pretty well. So guys owned in fewer than 50% of leagues, which means literally odds are they're available in your league. So Mike, who is your quarterback sleeper for this week?
You know, I'm sorry to sort of throw in a wrench here, but I wanted to pick your brain about this. The game last night, the touchdown by Vance McDonald that was confirmed by replay. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was a touchdown. Under the new rules, that's a touchdown. Because the ball can be bobbled as long as he has control of it, and he got both feet down.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the rule keeps changing, and that's why people say nobody knows what a catch is, which is, I assume, why you're asking, right? Because, you know, last year that wasn't a catch.
Right.
So you just have to, like, go with the evidence that has been presented to you. Like, okay, the NFL thinks that this is a catch. Like last year, was it Jesse James or Vance McDonald that got the fumble reaching for the end zone and it wasn't a catch? This year, that would be a catch. In my line of work, I work in insurance. In insurance, there's a lot of tweaks to the procedure that completely overhaul prior things that were done. And this is a lot like that, where I see it, I go, okay, so I have to just scrub from my brain what I knew before. Just whatever I thought was a catch, just completely scrub it. Just go based on evidence, what the NFL says. And according to their new rule, you can bobble it as long as you maintain control. The wild thing is they say it can touch the ground, which is bonkers to me. If the tip of the football touches the ground, that's bonkers to me that it's a catch. But that's sort of, I treat it the same way. Like, all right, wipe from my head what a catch was. According to the new rules, that's a catch. So I'm not going to get upset about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people you see, they're like, well, you know, how is this catch from 2 years ago not a catch? And this is. And it's like, well, those were different rules. It's all it is, buddy. I don't know what to say to people. It's like, because it wasn't and now it is. Them's the rules.
Yeah, which wasn't before, but was before that. And now it isn't before that. So it's not before that. Now it's good.
Yeah, it's a touchdown. Touchdown Steelers. All righty. So now who's your quarterback of choice this week?
So my quarterback for this week is Marcus Mariota.
Marcus Mariota. Who's Mariota taking on this week?
He is taking on the New England Patriots.
Alrighty.
And he is owned in 31% of the leagues. Yeah, the reason why I picked Mariota is because he's there. Couple of reasons. One, coming off two straight weeks of solid performances, not only throwing the ball but also running. So I think he's had 25 yards and 30 yards in back-to-back games of running the ball. And last week he had 240 yards passing, two touchdowns in the air, and then 32 yards on the ground and another score. So three touchdowns by Mariota last week against the Cowboys. Now, of course, the Patriots are a step up above the Cowboys, but the interesting thing here is that they like to give up, or I should say they struggle against quarterbacks that are mobile, not only in the pocket, but can run with the ball. And that's exactly what Mariota is. He's someone that can take off with the ball at a moment's notice. So they struggle against those kind of quarterbacks. And the third reason is this AFC South, where the Tennessee Titans are in the dirt division, is a pretty soft defensive position. They're not probably like the NFC South. They're not that bad, but second or third in all of football, more than likely. So I think he can take advantage of that as well.
All right. So I promised you that I'm not just playing back last week's sleepers piece, but my sleeper this week, because guess who's still owned in only 42% of Yahoo leagues, even though he should be owned in more leagues?
Marcus Mariota?
Baby Baker, the touchdown maker.
Oh, yeah.
Baker Mayfield for, I think, the third straight week. I know I highlighted him in my article for three straight weeks.
Yeah, but I think this is, yeah.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield. I'm just going to keep rolling until somebody shows me otherwise, but Baker Mayfield, he gets the Falcons this week. The Falcons have allowed the third most fantasy points to quarterback on the season. In the last 5 weeks, only one team has allowed more fantasy points per game than the Falcons. And three of those games that these players had good games were pre-benching Jameis Winston, Eli Manning, and Alex Smith. So it tells you that it's not like they're just being, chewed up and spit out by, Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady, and it's like elevating their rank. No, they're legitimately terrible. They got Bruce Irvin this week, but that their strength of their defense right now, because everybody's hurt, is the pass rush. So adding Bruce Irvin is like adding, just a depth piece. He's not going to be a game changer. As for Baker, he scored two touchdowns in three straight games. In those three games, he is averaging 230 yards per game. As a starter, he's averaging about 260 yards per game. So he's passing it a good amount. He has decent rushing, about 20 to 25 yards per game on the ground, which gives you some extra fantasy points. That's an extra 2 to 2.5 fantasy points on the ground. But I think that he has a chance to chew up Atlanta. It's going to be a home game for Cleveland, and it's going to be a shootout because I'm starting to become a believer in the Atlanta offense, and the Cleveland offense will have to throw to catch up, because they're not going to do it on the shoulders of Nick Chubb, especially given that they gave the ball to Duke Johnson last week, finally, and he produced. So My sleeper this week is going to be Baker Mayfield, owned in 42% of Yahoo leagues.
Yep, and I like Baker. He's, he's probably the best rookie quarterback out there right now. So that's a good call. I like that.
The Browns knew what they were doing. Could you imagine the takes if the Browns had taken Josh Allen? Because Josh Allen has been hot trash, hot molten trash, just like I said he would be. He might be good, but he did not look NFL ready at any point. No. In college, in the preseason. I mean, dude's got an arm, but he doesn't have a brain to go with it. So, alrighty. So, who is your wide receiver sleeper this week?
My wide receiver sleeper is I was going to go with him last week, but I changed my mind and went with Marcus Valdes-Scantling. This week, I'm going back to what I should have done last week, and that person is Anthony Miller.
All right, Chicago. Chicago.
23% owned. So he's not getting a lot of production, but the thing is with the Bears is that they're hurting at wide receiver again. And interesting enough, the only wide receiver not hurting is Anthony Miller. So take back the last 4 years he's been or not been on the field. It's, you know, pretty ironic that he is now on the field. But anyway, so the last couple games, he's done pretty good. For instance, last week he got 5 catches for 49 yards. I mean, that's not like a whole lot of production and things like that. But if you consider Trubisky only threw 20 passes last week, that's a quarter of his production, which is pretty high. I think Trubisky is looking at Miller quite a bit more, maybe even having a force to go to Miller just because of those injuries with Robinson and Gabriel. And with that said, they're playing the Lions, and the Lions are good statistically against the pass, but that's just because teams love to run against them. So if the Bears are behind, they're probably going to throw more than run. But that's probably the only really negative right now for this week is that the Bears are going to be handing the ball off to Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen almost, you know, by spoonful. So we'll see what happens. But I really think that Miller, as far as a receiver out there that's not owned very much at 23%, is a good play for this week.
I was big on Miller coming into the year. He was getting a lot of season buzz, what he was doing in camp, but he didn't really show up before the last few weeks. So I like that one. That's a good pick. And to reprise my, I swear I'm not just repeating what I said last week or the week before. My wide receiver is Christian Kirk. I'm gonna keep saying him until he's owned in more than 29% of leagues. Like, this is ridiculous. He has produced, he's gotten at least 6 targets at least in 5 of his last 6 games. In the one game that he only had 4 targets, he had 85 yards and a touchdown. He's had 42 yards and a touchdown last week, 77 yards 2 weeks ago. He's a target monster there in Arizona. And frankly, he's not getting the respect that he's due by fantasy owners. He's averaged 63 yards per game on 4 targets. I'm sorry, 4 receptions. That's over his last 6 games. So that's 10 points in PPR. That's a wide receiver 3 floor. That's a plug and play wide receiver. And that's his floor. And that doesn't include that he's had touchdowns in 2 of the last 4 games. This week, they get the Chiefs. They will be in Arrowhead, which means that the Chiefs defense is going to be stronger than you would expect based on their season-long numbers, but at the same time, it is going to be a freaking shootout because the Cardinals are not going to be able to stop specifically Kareem Hunt because they are the worst team in the league against running backs, and that means for the Arizona side, it's going to be a lot of thrown, it's going to be a lot of Rosen to Kirk, and it's going to be a lot of going up and down the field trying to keep up with the Chiefs defense, and the Chiefs defense will allow that to happen. So my sleeper this week is at wide receiver is Christian Kirk. And Christian Kirk and Baker Mayfield are in the same boat, where guess what? They're going to show up here every week until they're over, until they either have a horrendous matchup or they're owned in more than 50% of leagues, whatever happens first.
Yeah. And let's see, who if you were to place a wager on which one will be first to do that, which one would you pick?
That they play a hard defense, or that they play that they get over 50% ownership.
Yeah, that they get over 50% ownership.
I think that Baker Mayfield will be owned in over 50% of leagues next week, because next week is another by NATO, I believe. Hold on, I think this one might be a bipocalypse. Let's see. Yeah, next week is Buffalo, Miami, New England, Jets, Cleveland, and the 49ers. So actually, Baker will not be owned in over 50% of leagues next week because he's one of the players on bye. So that throws a kink in the conch. Let's see who Arizona plays next week. Arizona schedule. I think they play the Seahawks next week, which tells me they will play a difficult matchup. Oh, no, they don't play the Seahawks for a while. I was thinking of the 49ers. I'm going to go with over 50% ownership for Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Book it. Because the because the Cardinals play the Raiders next week. So and the Browns don't play at all. So I'm booking that that we'll get over 50% ownership from Jared Goff and Pat Mahomes owners in week 12, picking up Baker Mayfield to cover their buys. So that's my guess.
Okay. I like that. That works.
Because Baker was at 42% when I owned it, when I wrote this. Let's get it up to the date. While I find the up to the moment ownership on Yahoo, let's go to your running back this week.
Okay. He's sort of the new kid on the block. And with that said, it's Josh Adams from Philadelphia.
That was guy too. I like Josh Adams.
Yeah, I do too. And he's owned in only 21% of the leagues. So he had last week he had a bye week. So we have to go back 2 weeks from then. And he had 9 carries for 61 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Now that used to mean something. I don't know if it means anything now, but that's a pretty good day regardless. So he could definitely pound the rock, and the Eagles, one of the reasons why they won the Super Bowl last year is because they had two big backs that just pounded the rock, and that is Josh Adams. He's 6'2 and 225 pounds, so the guy is a pretty big dude, and I think they're going to sort of cement what they did last year, which means that Adams should be getting the ball quite a bit. Now, the one thing that the big backs lacked last year, it could be the same thing that Adams lacks this year, and that is catching the ball. So he had one reception on 7 targets, but again, we don't know anything really about this guy, if he's a good receiver out of the backfield or he just had a really bad day or what it is. But just by that sample size tells me that he kind of has a hard time, you know, receiving the ball. And when you have Smallwood and when Sproles comes back and you have those kind of backs that's what they make their living on, then they're not going to really rely on him for that third down option. But if you're looking for a running back that is going to get first and second down carries, this guy is the guy.
All right. Yeah, no, I think that he's going to be one of those guys, like we talked about MVS and Cortland Sutton, as guys that pick them up now because you're going to get them for free while everybody, you know, else will be trying to scramble to the waiver wire and see, oh, look who's already on your roster is that guy. I got some of that with MVS Cortland Sutton the last couple of weeks. It has felt good. My guy this week isn't going to be one of those players because he's sort of a plug and play. And it is Capri Bibbs. Capri Bibbs is what?
I like the Bibbs.
The Bibbs, Capri Bibbs. He is going to be the change of pace back while Chris Thompson's on the shelf to Adrian Peterson. And this is sort of a everybody else is dead. It's sort of like the I think I've used this analogy before, like Johnny Rico in Starship Troopers kept getting promoted because everybody else died around him. That's what happened to Capri Bibbs. Jordan Reed is, I'm using the world's biggest finger quotes, healthy. You know, Josh Doxson is not Paul Richardson. I'm sorry, Josh Doxson is. Jameson Crowder may not be. Paul Richardson went on IR. So who's it going to be? It's going to be Capri Bibbs. The entire offensive line is injured, so there's going to be a lot of throwing to catch up because the Tampa Bay defense is going to get quickly to Alex Smith. I don't think they're going to be able to establish a run game. I think it's going to be a lot of passes to Bibbs. Bibbs had just one offensive snap 2 weeks ago because he was injured. He got injured. But in the game before that, he had 13.6 fantasy points in half PPR. And then last week, he had 10 points flat in half PPR. Both good days, days that I would be happy with from a streaming candidate. And the Buccaneers defense that they're taking on has given up 14 touchdowns to running backs already this season. And over their last three games, they've given up 6 of those touchdowns. So they're averaging almost 2 touchdowns a game to the position, but in the last few games, it is 2 to the position. So this isn't one of those guys like Josh Adams, who for rest of season purposes, probably a better pickup, definitely a better pickup. But for a 1 week rental, I would probably go with Capri Bibbs over Josh Adams, just because Josh Adams has that messier backfield and Capri Bibbs has an established role already. But for rest of season, I do like Josh Adams better.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that as a vote of confidence.
There you go. So just a quick rundown before we get to tight ends. Mike's guys so far, Marcus Mariota, Anthony Miller, and Josh Adams. Mine are Baker Mayfield, Christian Kirk, and Capri Bibbs. So who is your tight end? The position that I personally just keep whiffing on over and over and over, because it took me 4 years to be right about Eric Ebron, and I just used up all my tight end correctness on the season by calling with Eric Ebron. So who is your tight end sleeper for this week?
Well, normally it's Chris Herndon, but those days are done. He is now...
Yeah, no Sam Darnold, no Herndon.
60% of leagues now, so...
Oh, my God, he's that much owned?
Yeah.
Guess what he is on Yahoo?
What is he owned in Yahoo?
Take a shot.
54%.
Keep shooting.
58?
Colder.
Oh, 35.
Warmer.
42.
Colder.
38.
13.
13?
13% on Yahoo. It's what I said last week, and I say all the time, it's ownership is driven by who the analysts on the site like, because people go on the site, they read on CBS's case, you know, Jamie Eisenberg, Keith Cummings, Dave Richard, and they must like him, so they go with Herndon. But who's your guy this week?
Wow, 13%. And you're right about that. They've been pushing Herndon for quite a while. So my guy this week, I'm just still kind of shocked that only 13% because he's played well. But anyways, my guy this week owned in only 33%, and be interesting to see what he's owned in Yahoo, is the Zoom Zoom man, CJ Uzoma.
CJ Uzoma.
Yeah, like that guy. So basically the reason why I had him, I was marketing him pretty well up until Chris Herndon took over. And then now that Herndon is out of my range, I'm going to go back to Uzoma. Couple reasons. One, the Bengals don't have a tight end other than Uzoma, and that's pretty much what they do. I mean, that big part of their offense revolves around the tight end, and that's the position he plays. The second reason is A.J. Green being out. And with that means there's going to be more volume available for someone like Uzoma. So those two reasons are why I like him. I think he's going to do well, but don't get fooled by the Saints. And that's the team that the Bengals play this week. The Saints have a bad defense, but they've been pretty solid against tight ends. So don't get overly confident about Uzoma because they are playing the Saints because of that reason. So if you're in a desperate situation which you probably are if you're playing him, then you're going to have to roll with him anyways.
Yeah, I was going to challenge the CJ Uzomah pick because here are tight ends this season that haven't gotten 55 yards against the Saints. None of them have, but here's some guys that they stopped. OJ Howard, David Njoku, Jordan Reed, Kyle Rudolph, and Austin Hooper. All guys who, wow, you know, more often than not, I'm sure they've hit that 50-yard plateau, and only OJ Howard even topped 50 yards, and he only got to 54. None of them scored touchdowns. I think that they have a pretty good red zone defense. So that's what happened. So I do like the volume argument, but I don't know how well he'll do. And I'm sitting here doing that while I'm about to recommend a backup tight end, Vernon Davis. I'm really hammering this Washington and Atlanta matchup, I guess. I think it's one of those, I'm like, okay, Washington and Tampa Bay. Like, okay, Tampa Bay's defense is so bad, somebody has to score on him. So if I say everybody, I'll be right about somebody. Vernon Davis, Alex Smith has been throwing to Vernon Davis since the AFL-NFL merger. Back in their days with San Francisco, right after Joe Montana retired, right before Steve Young started taking over. Sorry, Joe Montana didn't retire, went to the Chiefs, effectively retired. Last week, Vernon Davis had more targets than Jordan Reed for the first time. And the Buccaneers allow 13 fantasy points per game to tight ends. I think that this week it will be going towards Vernon Davis, not Jordan Reed, because Jordan Reed is, again, biggest finger quotes in the world, healthy. He's never healthy. And I think Alex Smith, when the chips are down, he's going to go to his old reliable. I saw him do that forever in San Francisco. It was always dump offs to Frank Gore and to guess who? Vernon Davis.
Ah.
So I think that with a banged up offensive line this week, I think that'll be a lot more to the running back in Bibbs and to Frank Gore. I'm sorry, to Vernon Davis. So that's why I think Vernon Davis this week, he's only owned in 5% of Yahoo leagues. And speaking of ownership, I did get that Baker Mayfield ownership percentage. I promised it is only 44% still. So it's not like he has jumped up very high in the last couple of days. And then for my Capri Bibbs, he's only owned in 2% of leagues. So a couple deep, 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 deep guys, which make me wonder that maybe it's a bad idea because that's why they're so low owned. But yeah, so those are my guys this week. Anything to say about Vernon Davis? Forgot that he was in the league.
You know, I'm curious how close he is to actually Jordan Reed as far as receptions and that kind of thing. Because I know that Vernon Davis has had a couple good games in there, but it's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Jordan Reed has been getting out targeted in most games, but let's take a look on the year. Let's take a look at the year long stats. And Vernon Davis, I think, is pretty far behind. Cause if I'm remembering correctly, in his first few games, he did essentially nothing. Yeah. He did essentially nothing for a while there. But on the year, he has 15 whole receptions to Jordan Reed's 33. So it is sort of a more recent development with Vernon Davis that he hasn't been, you know, quietly outproducing Jordan Reed. It's been sort of a, like I said, recent development.
And on average, that's only one or two catches a game. So it's really not that much of a disparity, really.
Yeah. So, all righty. So that's the sleepers for this week. So what we'll do then is move on to the, like I said, we go through every matchup and give you an idea of what we are looking for in the game. Not necessarily, you know, you should start this guy. I said that guy, cause you can get that. Go ahead and just search fantasy football and any of those podcasts will get you that. We're trying to do something a little bit different. So the first game up on the docket is actually, according to Caesar's Palace, the highest scoring game of the week. That is going to be New Orleans in Cincinnati, and New Orleans is 5.5-point favorites, despite being on the road. So, Mike, what are you looking for in this one, in the Cincinnati home game?
Yeah, this is probably going to be one of those good games of the week, and the the one thing that I'm looking for is, can the Bengals play a good enough defense to hold one of the best offenses in the Saints, and probably in all of NFL? So that's how they're going to have to win. They're just going to have to play good enough defense to hold them and not allow the Saints to do what they do to every team and run them over. But So most of their points come from non-passing, second most in the league. Also, the Saints don't punt the ball. So those are two interesting facts that I saw. The Saints score on the ground 93.4%, and they've only punt 25% of their possessions. So they are an offensive machine. But as far as the Cincinnati, you want to sort of keep in mind that, as we said earlier, AJ Green is going to be out, and I really like the fact that I think Mixon is going to have a solid game, and then we'll see what Uzuma does. But I'm really want to know how good Boyd is, Tyler Boyd, and if he can play well without AJ Green, then he's probably good enough to be a number one receiver and not one of those guys that play really well when they have a number one receiver on the team. So we'll see what happens there. I'm interested to see what Boyd comes away with. And as far as, if you're wondering between Kamara and Ingram on the Saints, it's been the Kamara show. He's out-touched Ingram 62-40 since the week 5 bye, 15-4 in red zone, and basically is just putting Ingram on ice. There's really no competition there. So roll with Ingram if you have to, but Kamara's the guy, and I think the Saints are pretty much resting on Kamara to be the back of the future. What's interesting is that Drew Brees has sort of caught Ben Roethlisberger's disease, where really good at home, but really bad on the road. And the Saints playing on the road, the big difference there is that Brees has 348 yards on average at home and just 236 on the road. So just keep an eye on that as well. If you have a better option, and there's not very many out there that are better option than Drew Brees, but if you do, just keep that in mind.
All right, fair enough. So let's see. Would you start Drew Brees or Fitzmagic?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I still think you have to go with Drew Brees on that, but yeah, Fitzmagic is one of those that seem to be also a top guy too. So I don't know. I think just on safe zone, I'd go with Drew Brees.
Okay. Let's see. Drew Brees or Matty Ice, Ryan.
I might go Matt Ryan there. I think that, that might be an option. If you have both Brees and Ryan, I would probably go with Matt Ryan.
All right. Fair enough. So let's see. Drew Brees or Nick Mullins?
God, tough one. Tough.
I'm just joshing you. All right. One thing I forgot to mention in this one, this is the highest over-under on the week at 53.5 points. So according to Caesar's Palace, this will be the fireworks game of the week, except for Carolina and Pittsburgh that had a 100 bajillion points scored by the
Steelers.
So before we get into the next game, didn't mention the bye teams this week. You got Denver, Minnesota, Baltimore, and Houston. So if we don't talk about those teams, let's see. Start or sit any Broncos this week, Mike?
Start or sit any of the Broncos?
Yeah, they're on a bye.
I would sit all Broncos.
Okay, what about the Vikings?
Yeah, I would do the same with the Vikings.
Okay, Ravens, they're on a bye this week. Nobody's playing. Would you start Alex Collins or Mike Davis?
That's a tough question. I think I might go with Mike Davis there.
Wrong answer. Mike Davis is going to have 3 fumbles. He's going to have negative points.
Then you might want to go with Alex Collins.
Yeah, go with Alex Collins there. He'll hurt you less.
Yeah.
All righty. Enough of that nonsense. Next game up on the docket. It's another AFC North home game. That's going to be 3 AFC North home games in a row, technically, on this schedule, with the Steelers on Thursday night, then Cincy, and then Cleveland hosts Atlanta. 50.5 point over under. This is tied with Green Bay and Miami. I'm sorry, with Los Angeles and Seattle as the second highest over under of the week. And the Falcons are 6-point favorites in this one. So other than Baby Baker, the touchdown maker, what are you looking for in this game?
I think the main thing is, can Julio Jones make it 2 weeks in a row?
Julio!
Score a touchdown.
Julio.
I don't know if you saw his touchdown, but by the skin of his teeth, he got in there.
Yeah, he was like, freaking, finally. And here's my whole thing about why Julio Jones doesn't score touchdowns is because they have their red zone offense is running the ball up the middle. And it didn't do anything to fix that because I think it was a 30-yard touchdown reception. So it's like, all right. So still not getting those red zone touchdowns. But yeah, I hope Julio Jones can score a bunch of touchdowns. That sure would be nice.
It's amazing the points he puts up without scoring the touchdowns. The dude's just a monster. So that would be the thing I'm going to be looking for, to see if he can be consecutive with 2 touchdowns in 2 weeks. And, you know, both teams' defenses allow a high percentage rate for red zone opportunities. Atlanta is the worst in the NFL, while Cleveland is 28th. So with Cleveland, you only have 4 teams that are worse than them. For the most part, roll with players who've brought you there for the Falcons. So you're going to go with the guys that you've been playing. And don't forget about Ito Smith, too. Yeah, I think he definitely has a role with that team, especially with Freeman being out. As far as the Browns, I'm going to like to see.
Hold on real quick. This message is just for one guy. This message is for Ted in my high school league. If you are listening, Ito Smith is terrible. You would rather have Latavius Murray because you have Dalvin Cook. That is the trade offer that is currently on the table. Everybody else, Ito Smith is very good, but Ted, he's terrible. You don't want him. You'd rather have Latavius Murray. Okay, continue.
Yeah, I support that message. As far as the Browns, what I want to see is Duke Johnson's role. If that's going to continue as it did last week, where he had 10 targets and 9 receptions. So he had a pretty good day. And if they're going to use him, because Nick Chubb is not someone who's going to catch the ball an awful lot. He doesn't have very good hands. So what I'm thinking their Browns are going to do is sort of categorize Chubb's going to be the first and second down guy, and then Duke Johnson's going to be the PPR guy, PPR specialist. So if you do own Duke Johnson, I think he's going to get a lot more activity as far as passing game. So don't get rid of him yet. And as far as the Falcons defense, one other thing is that they have a hard time guarding against anybody that plays the slot. So that means good news for Jarvis Landry. He should have a solid day, even though Baker Mayfield really sort of tailored off looking at Jarvis Landry. But I think if you're going to play Jarvis Landry, this is the week to do so.
All right, fair enough. All right, next game up on the docket is an NFC North matchup. The Detroit Lions travel to Chicago, take on the Bears. 44-point over under. The Bears are 6.5-point favorites. They are supposed to get Allen Robinson back. That is my question for the Bears. Is are they going to get Allen Robinson involved? They had been throwing it more to Taylor Gabriel recently, but Allen Robinson, he had, you know, some kind of disappointing yardage totals this year. The last 4 games that he played, he topped 50 yards once, and he's only scored a couple touchdowns on the year. He was starting to get the touchdown thing rolling. In the 2 games before he got hurt, he scored coming out of their bye, but I want to see how they reintegrate Allen Robinson, if it helps Mitch Trubisky or it hurts him because he's trying to integrate Allen Robinson. Another thing would be what the Cohen and Jordan Howard split looks like, because Cohen got put firmly on the back burner last week, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they were leading. And it was a lot of Jordan Howard killing the clock there. So that's what I'm looking at for the Bears. Allen Robinson was a guy that I drafted him, and I was in a roster crunch. I actually ended up cutting him. And I'm not super disappointed that I did it. Hasn't had a great catch rate this year. You know, we'll see now that he's back and presumably healthy how he does with Trubisky. For the Lions, Matt Stafford was sacked 10 times last week without Golden Tate. Really a baffling trade if you think about it. Like, what does trading Golden Tate for a mid-round pick accomplish for the Lions? It doesn't do a whole lot. It's like Matthew Stafford's favorite target. The other two guys, Jones and Galladay, kind of do the same thing. I mean, Galladay has better underneath routes, but Marvin Jones is just a deep threat, and Golden Tate was like he was Matt Stafford's safety valve. And without a safety valve, he was sacked 10 times last week. So is he going to get sacked a ton again this week against another good pass rush that's going to have Khalil Mack back? And if so, I mean, can you trust if Matt Stafford's going to be on his butt all game, how far back does that drop guys like Marvin Jones, like Kenny Galladay, like Kerryon Johnson? Does it buff Theo Riddick because the Lions are going to be losing every week, so they're going to be in hurry-up mode, which further depreciates Kerryon Johnson? Why is LeGarrette Blount still on the roster? lots of questions there in Detroit, but basically, what does this offense look like without Golden Tate? Are they going to fix the problems that plagued them last week without Golden Tate, or is it just going to be a replay of last week? And if it is a replay of last week, it has me worried about pretty much everybody in Detroit.
Yeah, and they didn't look very well at all. It looks like, what's his name? Theo Riddick played quite a bit of wide receiver too. So I don't understand. And I agree with you. I don't understand the trade the Lions made to get rid of Golden Tate. Doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
It does not. All right, next game up. The Arizona Cardinals, we touched on this game a little bit, travel to Kansas City, take on the Chiefs, 49.5 point on over under, which, you know, any game with Pat Mahomes this season feels like you got to start at 40 points for the over under and go from there. But the Chiefs are 16.5 point favorites in this one. This is another AFC home game. And what are you looking for in this one?
So, and you just touched on it. Will the Chiefs make it six straight games of 30+ points? And will Patrick Mahomes throw for 300+ yards for the ninth straight game, which is the most in NFL history? The guy that has it, Drew Brees, he's done it 9 straight times, and he's done it twice. I mean, it's... If you go through Drew Brees' passing numbers and stuff, and I swear to God, you might probably want to walk away thinking he is the GOAT of the NFL, but he doesn't get the credit. And things like this, where no other passer has thrown for 9 straight games, the 300 yards plus, and Drew Brees has done it twice. So it's just interesting. However, the Cards are exposed on the ground when it comes to scoring. So get Kareem Hunt in there, as you probably already will. He should really have a good game. The Cards, in result, allow the fewest touchdowns through the air. So that's gonna be interesting to see how well Patrick Mahomes does throwing touchdowns, because the Cards are really stiffened when it comes to allowing those touchdowns in the air. So he might not get those 3 touchdowns, but he should probably get those yards.
I wonder how much of that it has to do with the fact that they do stink out loud so much against running backs, so they just let them run the ball.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that, but it's also it's not as bad as the Lions, where it, like 80% of the defense is exposed through the run, so that's all they do is run. But yeah, it's definitely probably some of that for sure. The Chiefs allow nearly 180 yards scrimmage yards to the opposing backfield. So, you know, you're definitely looking at hopefully David Johnson getting going, especially in the air, you know, catching some passes, which he really hasn't done all year. He's done a little bit more over the last couple of weeks, but he's not being used the way he should be. And the Chiefs have been tough on slot receivers, but which may backfire on your Christian Kirk pick, but if Fitz takes away that sort of that coverage, then who knows? Maybe Christian Kirk is going to explode. So I think it's going to be one either Fitz or Kirk who's going to have a really good game. And it, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, the last three games, the Chiefs have been pretty much a shutdown on slot receivers.
All right. Fair enough. So the next one up is the Dion Lewis revenge game. New England travels to Tennessee to take on the Titans. It is a 46.5 point over under with the Patriots favored by 6.5 points. So other than will Gronk ever play ever again, what are you looking for in this one?
This is sort of the Drew Brees effect, as I was talking about earlier. Really good at home, but horrible on the road. And that goes for the New England Patriots scoring offense. On the road, they only score 1.8 per game. So pretty much right at that two touchdown mark. While on the road or on home, they're 4.2. So they're,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's total polar opposites when it comes on the road and at home. And where are the Patriots playing? On the road. So keep an eye on your Patriots. You know, obviously, I'm not telling you to bench any of them, but don't expect a blowout game. Don't expect 4 or 5 touchdowns out of Tom Brady this week. So it's going to be one of those tough games. Plus, the Titans defense is pretty strong. So who I like in New England is Edelman and Gordon. They should make good plays for the Patriots if you're looking at in that direction. And then for the Titans, I just want to know if Derrick Henry is, you know, on a mail carton or what. I don't know where he went. He's gone. Dion Lewis has outsnapped him 104-38 and has out touched him 42-22, and obviously has outgained him 277-97 in the last two games. So outsnapped him 104-38 is probably the biggest sign I see as far as the last two games. 38 for Henry and 104 for Lewis. So if you have Derrick Henry, you might want to think about getting rid of him. In Dynasty League.
Oh, in Dynasty. I was gonna say who still owns Derrick Henry?
Yeah,
Dynasty leagues.
Yeah,
because Derrick Henry
hasn't. So, yeah,
been usable in a very long time, and it's been exceptionally clear since their bye week that Dion Lewis is the lead back there. And let's see what Derrick Henry's ownership percentage is on Yahoo. He's at 48%. Guy was. What, third round pick dropped below 50% ownership despite having his best two games in the last two games only because he scored touchdowns. But through 8 games, he has 300 rush yards and he doesn't catch the ball. So that's not great. Not great at all. Speaking of not great, Washington's dead, dying, and gone offense is traveling to Tampa Bay, where Tampa Bay is a 3-point favorite and is a 51-point over under. I did hype up a little bit of the Washington offense earlier, but I was hyping up their backup change of pace running back and their backup tight end. And they'll also be going to their backup slot receiver. My question for this one is, who is producing? Who's stepping up? Is anybody stepping up? Is it time to get rid of all your Washington players? Because this might be another lost year, just like last year. Last year, the Washington team had the most did for starters games lost to injury, and it's looking like they're going to be right there on that path again this season. So it might be one of those things where everybody's too hurt to produce. It might be time to cut bait with everybody on Washington, except for maybe Adrian Peterson after this week. Because this might be the last hurrah for the Washington offense. So my thing is, will the Washington offense struggle? Because if they do, I mean, it's probably time to cut bait on them. They get the Texans next week. After that, they get the Cowboys, but it's going to be on Thursday Night Football. Those games are always weird. Then it's the Eagles, then the Giants, who are okay, and then it's the Jaguars. So it's like, not really a great rest of the season schedule for them. So if they don't do anything this week, chances are they're not going to. So it might be time to ditch any and all Washington players that you have.
Yeah. I really had a lot of hope for Crowder this season. I really thought that Alex Smith, being the game manager that he is, would have targeted Crowder quite a bit, but that's not even happening. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's super rough out there. Everybody sort of thought that you could take out Kirk Cousins, plug in Alex Smith, and everything would be hunky-dory. And Alex Smith is not the Alex Smith that was in Kansas City last year. So it really tells you a lot about how coaching can change things for a player.
Yeah, absolutely.
So two teams that need everything changed for them, including their dirty diapers. 36.5 point over under. Buffalo travels to New York, where the Jets are favorites by one touchdown.
Don't make me talk about this game, Jeff, please.
All right. Sit everybody on both sides. Well, okay. LeSean McCoy starts it.
Yeah, I would say sit. For instance, in the last two games, right, he's had 22 total carries. In two games, he's had 22 total carries and 23 yards.
That doesn't sound good.
No,
that sounds actively terrible. So I would just say, maybe start the defenses.
Yeah, the defenses are good. You know what's even worse than say last two games for LeSean McCoy is that Chris Ivory has outproduced McCoy on the ground in less carries, like 10 less carries, but Ivory has more yards.
Man, almost like somebody told everybody not to draft him before the season. I'm not saying that I said not to draft him at all, but I am saying that in my final rankings that didn't make it onto the website, he was running back 37 for me. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of could see the writing on the wall with Shady. The team is terrible. I mean, they're just bad. I won't make you talk about this game anymore, but I will make you talk about your boys. The Indianapolis Colts host the Jacksonville Jaguars, 46.5 point over under. And be still my heart, the Colts are favored by 2.5 points,
yeah,
according to
Steve. Yeah.
But baby, Colts are, they've been turning it on the last month or so. So what are you looking for in this one?
Before I go there, I have one player that Elijah McGuire. If he's not owned by anybody, he's a good pickup, and he's definitely good for PPR. He's out snapping Isaiah Crowell. So even though this game might not be a great game as far as points and production, he's definitely one of those guys down the road.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Something out of this game.
That's a great spot. Yeah. Now, as far as the Colts and Jags, yeah, you're absolutely right. The Colts have been very good over the last month. They have the highest touchdown rate through the air at 85.2%. And the Jags are right behind them as second with 84.6%. So they're pretty neck and neck when it comes to throwing for touchdowns in the air, which is very interesting because I don't think any of us would pick Jacksonville as the second team that is throwing in the air as far as touchdown production. That's probably something we would never have guessed, considering Leonard Fournette is the key guy there. But the key guy has been missing all season. So what do the Jaguars mm-hmm. do when the key guy is gone? They throw the ball. And that's why the Jags are so high with that percentage reason. Now, another interesting factoid I found out is Andrew Luck, who, you know, saw dirt more times than anything on his back by opposing defenses over the last couple of seasons, that offensive line is doing pretty well. He has not been sacked in the last 156 attempts, which is the longest in his career. So 156 times he's drawn back the pass, and none of those times has he been sacked. And I don't remember the last time that could be said about a Colts offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, the Colts have been really good this year. At least the offensive line has, which has been a huge change from years past.
Yeah. And it's really a relief to see, because if they hadn't started getting really good, I don't know how long Andrew Luck would have held out, but he's getting the protection, and which is very important. Now, what I want to see is who breaks first, the passing game for the Colts or the Jags' second best pass defense in yards allowed. So whichever one of those breaks first is probably going to be the loser of the game, and whoever wins that first is going to be the winner. So if the Colts can get their passing game, continue with that, then the Colts will be winners. If the Jacksonville defense pressures Andrew Luck and controls that passing game, the Jaguars will probably win. You know, they've shut down Mahomes, Wentz, and, you know, Prescott. But Wentz and Mahomes are, as we know, are pretty good players. So that Jags passing defense is pretty solid.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a strength on strength game. That's a very good point. So we'll see how that one shakes out. So next game on the docket is going to be an AFC West matchup. The Chargers travel to Oakland. The Chargers are 10-point favorites, and it's a 49.5-point over-under. What are you looking for in this game? For a fantasy football angle, what is an actionable thing that our listeners can take away from this game?
I would say, if I have to go with a factual angle, don't ever draft the Raider players until maybe 3 years from now. But there's really no Oakland Raider that on this team right now that you should be playing unless you're pulling the fire alarm, because it's really ugly. And this game is going to be really ugly. So look for the Chargers to sort of dominate that game. You're going to go roll with Gordon and Rivers, of course. For Oakland, I like Jared Cook the best, but he sort of struggled without Cooper in the last couple games. Also, if you're looking for PPR players, especially pass catchers out of the backfield, Jalen Richard makes a pretty good play. He's out targeted, caught, and has more yards than any of the receivers. So the running back for the Raiders has more targets, more yards, and more catches among all the other wide receivers from the Raiders. So he obviously plays a role there. But yeah
that's a normal stat, huh?
yeah, right.
So you mentioned Jared Cook struggling without Amari Cooper. It's Jared Cook's snap count is actually a testament to the Raiders actively tanking. So he played in the first five games. His lowest snap percentage was 80, four out of every five snaps. He was 62 2 weeks ago and 59 last week against the Niners. So that's why he struggled. It's because John Gruden's not putting him out on the dang field to do anything.
And it's not like they have other options at the receiving position to, you know, cover up that situation. So Jared Cook is probably one of the two, maybe if not, well, definitely not better than Jordy Nelson, but the top three receivers on that team, and he's not getting played. So,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, all right. So that would do it for the AFC home game. So it's my rambling, but from here on out, we got an NFC West matchup. Seattle travels to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. 50.5 point over under. The Rams are 9.5 point favorites. Not something you think you would see three years ago with the Rams being nearly 10 point favorites over the Seahawks, but that's how quickly things change in the NFL. That's why they call it not for long. Speaking of not for long, a consensus top 10 wide receiver pick going into the season. I was worried about his injuries, and they've seemed to have cascaded, and he's never been healthy all year. Are we going to hang on to Doug Baldwin after this one? We saw Michael Thomas was able to torch the Rams defense last week. They can be defeated by technician wide receivers like a Doug Baldwin, like a Michael Thomas. But if Doug Baldwin doesn't do his Doug Baldwin thing this week, it might be time to start benching him. And then maybe when you get into a roster crunch, which buys are ending soon, roster spaces are going to become for setting up for the playoffs. You might not have room on your roster for a Doug Baldwin type who, you know, is turning in like wide receiver three numbers on the season this year. Hate to say it, but he might be a guy that just needs a mulligan on the whole year, because he has been up and down. Here's his yardage totals in his games this season. 0, got hurt, had one target, whatever, that's a mulligan. 41, 1, 91, 26, 77. So you can see that he's been up and down and up and down and up and down all year. And I just don't know if, you know, you can trust him. And if he doesn't blow up against this team, it might be time to get rid of him. Try to trade on the name. Trade deadlines are coming up. So see what you can do there. As for the Rams, they are who they are. There's literally nothing that they could do this game except outside of somebody getting hurt that'll make me think anything different about the Rams. Like, not a single thing, right?
Yeah, and plus the fact that they lost last week, you know they're going to be pretty fired up.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be a freaking bloodbath, I think, personally. So next one up, speaking of bloodbaths, Miami travels to Green Bay. This one, surprisingly, is not set to be a huge blowout. It's going to be not close, 9.5 point over-under. I'm sorry, 9.5 point spread on it. Obviously, the Packers are the favorites. 47.5 point over-under. This one is going to be Aaron Jones? Question mark, maybe? Can the Packers start using Aaron Jones? He's been on a per-touch basis over the last 2 years. Grant Barfield tweeted something out that he's first and second in all kinds of different categories, like yards after contact, yards after a defender has gotten close, all these different statistics. He's, you know, top three in the league, but they just keep trotting Jamal Williams out there. So will they finally unleash Aaron Jones? And then Geronimo Allison, my best friend in the whole wide world, went on IR. And does that mean it's MVS time? MVS, more like MVS, MVP. I mean, he could be a guy that down the stretch, he could literally be, you know, be a league winner, because he's been lighting it up over the last few games with Aaron Rodgers. I think it's been a touchdown or 100 yards in 4 straight games for wow. MVS, which is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So he had 100 yards or a touchdown in 4 straight games. And those are the games that he's actually starting to get targets, because 4 games ago was his first game with more than 3 targets. And in all 4 of those games since then, he's had 68 in a score, 103 yards, 45 in a score, and 101 yards. So he could be the type of guy. Aaron Rodgers, number 2 wide receiver, has been a coveted player for pretty much as long as he's been playing. And now it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So is it you know, MVS, more like MVP, more like MVS. I'm workshopping those things, but I think that he could literally be a league winner in the second half with this Geronimo Allison injury.
Yeah, and there's Packer offenses. You know, you always want a piece of that, and he's one of those players that you get off the waiver wire that makes all the difference.
Yes, sir. Yes, he is. So we got two more games. Those are all the day games and morning games on Sunday. So now that brings us to Sunday night football, which I jokingly said, what Sunday night? I forget who I was talking to. I said, what Sunday night football this week? Dallas and Philly. Guess what? Dallas and Philly, Sunday night football. All NFC East games must be broadcast in prime time. That is in the NFL bylaws, because even though the teams mostly suck, we are subjected to them forever because of Jerry Jones and because of the New York market. And so this one, Dallas travels to Philly. Philly are 7-point favorites, and it's a 43.5-point over-under. Personally, I would take Philly with the points, because I don't know much about this Dallas offense that inspired a whole lot of hope in me last week when I saw them. Guess what? On Monday Night Football, on primetime, all garbage NFC East games must be on primetime. That is the rule. for the Eagle side, you already talked about him. Actually, in my notes, it's Josh Adams. You kind of already talked about him. I'm not going to repeat that point, but he could be the big bruiser back, the Jay Ajayi, the LeGarrette Blount type in that backfield. And then for the Cowboys, it's Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup was very close to being one of my sleepers this week, because over the last 2 weeks, they remembered they had him. He was my favorite fantasy rookie coming into the year in among the wide receivers. He did pretty much nothing all year, but in the last couple games, he sort of come on. And what was definitely encouraging was he had his best game of the year last week with Amari Cooper. So maybe he just needed a definite number one opposite him to take the attention away. And I'm sorry, it was 2 weeks ago was his best game. Last week he had his most targets. That's what I was thinking of. He had 6 targets last week. His best game was 2 games ago against Washington. He had 81 in his score. So see how the Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup thing shakes out. Michael Gallup is owned in, you know, he's available in over 90% of leagues, at least on Yahoo. So that could be a guy that might be a nice waiver wire pickup for you after this week. That brings us mercifully to the last game of the week. Monday Night Football, the game that I am on PTO for, because I am driving my butt from Carmichael, California, all the way down to Santa Clara, the big bell bottom, as the Niners take on the New York Giants in what I call the 2011 NFC Championship game rematch, even though they've played like 5 times since then. But the Niners are 3.5-point favorites, which is pretty much a toss-up. That's sort of the home bump. It's a 45.5-point over-under. You're starting your Saquons, your OBJs. You might start your Eli Mannings. But the two things I'm looking at in this one is Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram for the Giants. There's been sort of them scoring away their pecking order since Evan Engram came back from injury, and Evan Ingram's coming out on bottom. Sterling Shepard just continues to get targets, continues to eat. But the Giants defense, or I'm sorry, the Niners defense is bad against tight ends. So maybe this might be a game where Evan Engram gets right. And then for the Niners, it's Nick Mullen time, baby. Nick Mullins. Sorry, not Nick Mullen. Nick Mullins time once again. I look forward ahead at their schedule. He might be a guy that if he does well this week, he might be a sneaky pickup next week to cover a week 12 bye for a Pat Mahomes or a Jared Goff owner. Because in next week, the Niners have their bye, but the week after that, the Niners get the Buccaneers. And we talked about how, you know, the Buccaneers can't guard anybody in the passing game to save their life. So if Mullins does well on Monday Night Football, he will not be a hot pickup next week. You can scoop him up off the waiver wire for your week 12 buys for Patty Mahomes and Jared Goff. And I think that that's probably the most directly actionable thing that you can take from these games, because this game, because the Nick Mullins Thursday Night Football experience against the Raiders I mean, the Raiders barely showed up. They barely cared. The fans in the stands were more passionate than the Raiders. So if he does well against the Giants, who are not a great team, but they, you know, they have more pride going than the Raiders do, then he's probably going to be a nice clean free agent pickup, not even a waiver wire pickup for their game against the Buccaneers.
You know what? Now I don't know if he's out for the year or not, but it seems that Mullins is pretty much been named the starter now. Beathard, is he out for the year, or did they just rolling with Mullins?
They are just rolling with Nicholas. He had he was questionable going into the Raiders game. He just had a wrist issue. The Niners did sign Tom Savage just to have depth there. But Beathard is not out for the year. CJ Beathard can't be put down forever. He'll keep popping back up. So he is, I don't know if he's still injured, because frankly, I don't care, to be honest. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but for 49ers purposes, it didn't matter if he was still injured or not. Mullins was not going to get benched after that Raiders game, so I didn't pay attention to it. You know, coming out of that Buccaneers game, the Niners get the Seahawks twice and the Rams again. So it's going to be rough sledding for whoever starting there. It's probably that Buccaneers game is probably the last time that you're going to want to start a 49ers player, to be honest with you, even Breida, because Breida is getting to be untenable own because of how often he gets injured.
Yeah. Yeah. Being so small and carrying the load there, pretty much.
Yeah, he can't handle it. So, you know what I can't handle? The fact that we're done.
Oh,
that's it. That's all the games for week 10. So that's what we're looking for this week. And like I said, the beginning of the show, this stuff's going to drop every Friday now. So, if you expected us on Wednesdays, don't expect us there anymore. We will be there on Fridays always. That's the plan. Worst case scenario is going to be Saturday morning if there's some technical hiccups. This week's actually is going to be a Sunday morning one, but if you've gotten this far, you found that out. It's just because Willie dropped his weekly interview with a radio show in Illinois, and putting two episodes in the same day kind of screws up some podcast feeds. So we're going to leave this one till tomorrow morning. Till Saturday morning. But thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out on check out the website, footballabsurdity.com, if you found us through Apple Music or another podcast service. If you found us through Football Absurdity, please subscribe to us on Apple Music or some other podcast service. Please rate and review. Would love to do that, to read some reviews. Would love that. But yeah, if you've gotten this far, thanks for listening. I'm still learning how to end a podcast, so I'm just going to end it. Mike?
Good luck to everybody, and don't pick up Dez Bryant.
Oh, come on. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.